Hey everybody, it's Michael here, and you're listening to the Good E-Reader Radio Show. Happy Black Friday, everybody. It's Michael here with the Good E-Reader Radio Show. It's November 23rd, 2012. Really, deals are to be had anywhere if you're willing to get up fairly early. We know that in terms of Kobo, you can get a $49 Kobo Mini at Best Buy and many indie bookstores participating with the ALA. So you might want to stay tuned for that. Let us know your thoughts. If you got any good scoops, you could tweet us at Good E-Reader or visit our Facebook channel. All that type of stuff is on our website at goodereader.com/blog, so you could stay up to date on everything happening there. We have some news and announcements to make. We have received in our hands the new Amazon Kindle Fire 8.9. We are going to be reviewing this tomorrow and posting videos all weekend long where we unbox it, review it, and then compare it against the Barnes & Noble Nook HD Plus, as well as the Apple iPad, so you can kind of get a sense on what these large screen displays bring to the table. We've also posted a number of videos and are in the process of doing it right now. Our latest one, Kobo Arc versus the Apple iPad Mini, and we have compared the Nook tablet against many of its competitors, including the Amazon Kindle Fire 7 HD, the Kobo Arc, the iPad Mini, and a whole lot more. So stay tuned to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/goodereader. Got some major stories here that we're going to talk about today. Basically, you know, yesterday was Turkey Day for our fine listeners in the United States. So we hope everybody drank just enough and ate just enough to have that healthy glow. And in terms of news, we have some things that I would like to talk about today. One is being the top Kindle books of all time and how it very much may surprise you. You look at literary prowess over the course of humankind. You have Shakespeare, James Joyce, Mark Twain, Jack Kerouac, Charles Dickens, Geoffrey Chaucer, Plato, Socrates, and all sorts of really prominent authors that not only changed the literary landscape, but also shaped a bit of that social fabric of our society. So when I looked at the top five ebooks of all time on Amazon, I was sighing and lamenting humanity. You have 50 Shades of Grey, The Hunger Games, Catching Fire, Mockingjay, and 50 Shades Darker. These are the best-selling Kindle books of all time. Humanity is weeping, folks. I think that this is a literal travesty of justice. But, you know, honestly, if it wasn't for a recent algorithm change with Amazon and the assigning of ASIN numbers, which are basically their version of ISBN numbers, basically what had happened is the company had removed the vast majority of free classic books and books considered to be under the public domain. And this was anything prior to 2011. So what they did is they replaced those books with new ASIN numbers, meaning new product pages. And in doing so, Amazon actually orphaned millions of links from the web. And if you have visited them in the last few months, you'll get can't find what you're looking for page. So there's tens of thousands of customer created list mania lists, likes, guides, and customer discussions that were basically all wiped out. So they orphan millions and millions of classic books, and then they basically developed new product pages. So books that had been purchased thousands or hundred thousands of times were wiped out with no track record saying this. And because all the classics now are standing at ground zero, this means that books purchased, you know, over the course of 2011 with The Hunger Games, and then 2012 with The Hunger Games, but also with 50 Shades of Grey and that trilogy, has really kind of shaped Amazon's best-selling record of ebooks. So this is what they're promoting right now, but I don't think it's indicative to basically saying that these are the top five ebooks of all time. This is just Amazon's top list of ebooks in 2012 because they basically wiped out all the public domain books. Barnes & Noble Nook HD and HT Plus are now available in the United Kingdom. Barnes & Noble's basically entered the UK about a few months ago, bringing the Simple Touch Reader and a Simple Touch with Glow Light, and establishing the nook.co.uk address, which would allow you to buy books from within the UK. They made huge relationships with John Lewis, Argos, ASDA, Dixon's, Sainsbury, Blackwell's, Foyles, and a number of other companies. So you could actually walk into any of those stores and purchase Nook Simple Touch and Nook Glow, but now you can also get the latest tablets that the company has just released with the Nook HD and HD Plus. We've really put these two tablets through their paces, folks. If you want to know all about these and exactly how they match up to other tablets on the market, check out our YouTube channel, because we've shot about close to 14 different videos between these two tablets by themselves, doing tutorial videos and doing a lot of product comparisons. So I suggest you take a look at some of them before you maybe consider purchasing them, because there's a lot of tablets on the marketplace and some may not be for you. So we kind of give you the full scoop on, you know, what's exactly happening there. So they're in the UK. You're getting the Nook HD at about 159 quid for the 8 gigs, and then 189 quid for the 16. The Nook HD Plus, which is the 8.9-inch tablet, 16 gigs is 229, 32 gigs is £269. In Mergerland, we reported last month that Penguin and Random House confirmed that they were going to merge their publishing companies to form a very large publishing entity. At the time, you know, really, both companies had been talking to prospective other partners before they came to, you know, formulate a relationship with each other. One of the companies is now making overtures, and here's what we have to report. HarperCollins and Simon & Schuster are in the early stages of negotiations to merge companies. So the Big Six suddenly are going to be it's going to be a very small pool now, with both of these companies prospectively merging and Penguin and Random House officially merging. It's really going to change the digital publishing landscape. Most of these companies that are all involved, we've been following their annual and quarterly reports all in 2012. Really what it seems like is every company, every quarter is up 30% to about 20% across the board for digital sales. And if you look at what's happened in 2011, they're up close to 200 to 300% in total sales from where they are this year to where they were at quarter by quarter last year. So digital is accounting for a large segment of their revenue stream. And by about 2016, a lot of industry analysts, myself included, really think that this is going to be about 60% of their entire revenues will come from digital books, audiobooks, enhanced books, kids books, cookbooks, and things that you could do on the iPad, interactive books, books with audio and visual elements, and, you know, just the good old-fashioned digital ebooks that you could read on your Kindle. So this is the way that the publishing industry is gravitating towards. And, you know, at Goody Reader, we started covering this industry in about 2008, just as sort of ebooks were in their infancy stage, before Kobo had even released their first reader and was known as short covers to Barnes & Noble before they even released anything. You know, we were writing about this industry. So we've really seen a lot. You know, we've really seen a lot of companies come out of nowhere and really kind of formulate their own digital strategies. And a lot of these publishing companies were really resistive at first, but they're starting to come around. But it's resulting in a lot of court cases, a lot of litigation, a lot of antitrust, and a lot of price-fixing cartel sagas that have happened this year. So, of course, you can stay up to date on all of this by visiting our blog at goodyreader.com/blog. We pretty well look at this stuff like on a daily basis. So if any of this stuff interests you, you may want to become a loyal reader. And of course, we have newsletters, so anything we publish on the weekend will be sent to your inbox. You can subscribe by Feedburner, and we actually are in development of a better Goody Reader news app, because the current one really sucks, guys. You're looking at an app that's on Google Play that really worked kind of well for a while, and then suddenly just stopped working. And even when we officially released it, I was not very impressed with it. But this new app, it's awesome so far. We've been internally testing it, and just like the HD graphics, everything just loading perfectly. And yeah, I'm super impressed with like our audio and video functionality. So you can listen to the radio show, you can watch all of our tutorial videos, you can change the fonts, change the size of the fonts, a lot of e-reader functionality with doing line spaces, margins, dictionary lookup. It's all going to be in this app, folks. So we're pretty excited. Hopefully it's going to be done before Christmas, or probably before the new year. So we'll let you guys know exactly what's going on as it's developing it. Well, you know, the holidays are creeping up, and we are getting geared up not only for Black Friday today, but also Cyber Monday. This is one of the largest time. This is the largest time of year in terms of being able to get really, really solid deals. Shopee Readers is going to be offering 10% off of everything that they have, and you'll be able to not only save money on e-readers, but a lot of e-readers will be slashed down even further on top of the 10%. You'll get free screen protectors, free DVD video tutorials, 100 free e-books, and a lot of other stuff. One of their top sellers, actually, surprisingly enough, are Visa gift cards that actually are from the U.S., and they also ship with a U.S. billing address. Why is this even important? Well, if you're an international user and you pick up a Barnes & Noble Nook e-reader, or the Nook HD HD Plus, or even the older Nook tablet, Nook Color, or if you get the Amazon Kindle Fire line of tablets, if you don't have an American shipping and billing address, you're very limited in what you can purchase. You can't buy apps, you can't buy magazines, you can't buy newspapers, you can't download videos. Without a U.S. billing address, the only thing that you can do is purchase ebooks, purchase newspapers, Kindle singles, and things like that. With adding an American credit card and an American billing address, what it basically allows you to do is purchase anything you want, excluding movies. For some reason, movies on both Amazon and Barnes & Noble take advantage of the geolocation feature. So if you're physically outside those countries, you won't be able to access it. But we are working hard at providing some sort of very easy-to-use VPN service, which is basically mask your IP address and say that you are in a place or country that you're not. We're still debating the logistics over something like that, but you know, VPN services are quite common out there, and there's a million different websites that offer it, from a one-time fee to being free and everything like that. So it's a very extensive process. It's definitely not for the newbie, but this is just something that we're thinking about. Christmas time, holiday season, many people are considering e-readers and tablets. And during the last week, various authors such as Paul Biba, Sovi is releasing an article soon, and I myself have written an article on the best e-readers and tablets for the holiday season, taking into account technology, price, availability, and the overall performance issues of these tablets and e-readers. So the top e-readers, you know, I recommend, because we've reviewed these all, and for everything that made the list, we must have reviewed 5 to 10 other devices that didn't meet the list. First of all, Amazon Kindle Paperwhite. They have basically changed up the game in terms of being able to tap into one of the best ecosystems in the world, but actually allow you to use your touchscreen e-reader in the dark and have various levels of luminosity. This isn't like a tablet or an iPad or a television that the light is emitting from behind the screen. This has new front light technology. We first saw it with the Barnes & Noble Simple Touch Reader, where the lights are built into the bottom or top of the bezel, and illuminating the screen by covering the screen with illumination. So you can think of it as the light is shining down on the screen rather than the light coming from behind the screen. What this does is this makes reading using this glow technology very easy on the eyes, because you're not having light shining in your eyes. It's just slowly illuminating the screen. And if you turn it up even 3/4 away, I mean, it's bright. So even in complete darkness, you could read books. So the Amazon makes probably our number one recommendation. It's the availability, though, which is the main problem. Within a few weeks, they were completely sold out. Most of their retail partners are sold out. In small towns all over the place, you may find a few in stock, because, you know, all stores were allocated a specific amount. And once those are sold out, even those stores won't be able to provide any new units. So, I mean, if you live in, like, rural Florida or, like, you know, Fargo, or, you know, places that are not really known for a strong literary culture, you may be able to find these pretty easily. But if you live in any type of urban centers, San Fran, Portland, New York, New Jersey, if you're living in, you know, Atlanta, you won't be able to really find these anywhere. So the second e-reader I recommend is the Kobo Glow. Kobo has really grown up in 2012 with the Rakuten purchasing the company. It's really expanded their footprint. They're now all over Europe, South America, and Japan, and they have about 3.6 million books in its ecosystem, and 1 million of those are completely free. Past e-readers by Kobo have been fairly lackluster. Probably they've released 2 e-readers before they did the Touch, which the Touch was a huge advancement for them. But I think the Glow kind of culminates everything Kobo has done up until this point, and finally releases a very solid product that is not only stable and reliable, but is robust as well. It's very easy to use. You can do business with any other e-reader company that sells EPUBs and load them in your device, and that's something you can't do with the Kindle. Kindle kind of locks you in with their own proprietary format and doesn't make it very easy to load books from other booksellers on top of it. Kobo's in a lot of respects is fairly software agnostic, so they prefer you buy the books from them, but it, you know, if you want to go out of your way and buy books and use Adobe Digital Editions or Calibre to copy the books over, you're pretty well good to go. The screen is fairly high resolution. You're looking at 1024 by 758. What this does is this makes pictures, PDF documents, technical manuals, even gaming materials like D&D, Palladium, Cyberpunk, GURPS, things like that that are very image heavy look really good because of the high resolution. You're also looking at like 1 gigahertz processors, which really amps things up, and you have enough storage space to be able to store all your books within a reader, but then it also has micro SD in order to drastically enhance it. Another e-reader that I really liked this year was a Sony PRS-T2. this never really gained a lot of acceptance, and a lot of loyalists in the e-reader camp really kind of discounted Sony a few years ago. Sony was once a mighty juggernaut. They controlled 40% of the e-reader industry in Canada and the U.S. Roughly about 3 or 4 years ago. And when Kobo and Barnes & Noble came onto the scene and Amazon started releasing new devices, it took e-readers that used to cost $399 all the way down to, you can get a new one for $79, and with the Black Friday deal with the Kobo Mini, you're getting them for $49. And Sony simply just can't compete anymore. They're not sort of into the business of e-readers, mainly because up until recently, their ebook store really sucked, but the ebook store in 2012 rather, really got a big facelift. They have book clubs now. They have easy ways that you can buy all the Harry Potter books. In most cases, when you buy a Sony PRST2, you're actually getting the first book in the Harry Potter saga completely for free. They have many colors, a lot of cases and accessories. Sony's been in the e-reader game for so long that their hardware is like really slick. At one time, they were releasing 2, 3, 4 new devices a year, but for the last 2 years they've only released a single device, and this T2 is very, very solid. You're not seeing any type of glowing screen that you would with other e-readers, or the pixel resolution is not the best either at 800 by 600, but if for overall use to new users, a lot of people find they really like this. I mean, I have a few friends that they kind of know what I do. You know, they know that I write about tech, and I'm always traveling to other, you know, countries and cities, you know, doing conventions and writing about tech, but they don't really know what an e-reader is. One of my friends was actually in the hospital recently, and she's like, bring me some books. I need something to read. So, she gave me a list of books. I purchased a few, loaded them onto the Sony, and brought it to her. And she's in love with it, you know. She's used to read on laptops and things like that, but just the Sony was so easy to use. Touch screen, just everything was simple. All the page turn buttons were like manual buttons. She didn't have to figure out any complex swiping procedures. And then she was like, wow, I could borrow books from the library. And you know, you could, because there's an OverDrive app built right into it. It's the only e-reader out there that has OverDrive built right into it. OverDrive is basically the biggest company that facilitates the digital lending process from libraries. So if your local library lends out ebooks, chances are they're doing business with OverDrive, which means that you could both check out and borrow books and read them on your Sony, all within an app, within a few clicks. And most other e-readers make you jump through a lot of hoops. Adobe Digital Editions, authorizing your PC. You know, it's kind of like a nightmare, especially if you're a new user. You don't know any of this. So Sony really makes it easy, which really is why I like it. Finally, PDF documents. No 6-inch e-readers offers the reflow options and the ability to really make a complex PDF document very easy to read, very easy to pinch and zoom, to be able to find that sweet spot. And because of PDF viewing and OverDrive functionality with a stylus, so you could actually, while you're reading a book, you know, circle things and draw arrows and everything like that, I really dig it. The last e-reader to make it on my list, folks, is the Wexler Flex 1. If you've never heard of this before, don't despair. They're basically a Russian company, and they have produced the world's first flexible e-reader using LG's new e-paper. The screen actually bends. You could like bend it almost 90 degree angles, and it's light as hell. It's like, a lot of e-readers are like, this is the lightest e-reader in the world. But this is truly, I mean, out of the, you know, 70 e-reader reviews that we've done this year, this is the lightest. And it like bends and flexes. So if you have it in your back pocket and you're actually sitting down, most of the time with e-readers, calculators, phones, it kind of digs into. They don't have any give. This actually conforms. If you have it in your back pocket, it conforms to your butt. Or if you have it like, you know, if you have it leaning against something, it's not like leaning against a device that has no torque. This will actually have some give. Resolution is on par with the Kobo and the Kindle Paperwhite. You have 1024 by 768, 8 gigs of internal storage, which is way larger than anything else on the market. You could expand it, obviously, and it does a fairly good job at being able to read many different ebook formats. It actually reads more formats than any of the other e-readers on my list. PDF, doc, CHM, HTM, like FB2, EPUB, and like three or four other formats. You could only buy this from ShopeReaders.com. This isn't like a promotion, but it's only available from like one company in Russia, and like ShopeReaders is their only other retail partner. So you could buy it directly from them from Russia if you understand Russian. You could check out pages in Russian, but if you can't, ShopeReaders definitely has, I think, about 8 or 9 of these in stock. When it comes to large screen e-readers, I get emails all the time. They're like, "Cause I, you know, Kindle DX discontinued. Sony doesn't make large screen e-readers. Pocketbook has like zero availability. I need a big e-reader with e-ink. I don't want a tablet, but I want something that's like I can actually buy and is not discontinued all over the place." So in the past, in 2011, I would have recommended the JetBook Color, you know, first color e-ink reader, 9.7 inches. The hardware was very sluggish, but if you were just exclusively reading books, it wasn't too bad. But if you were like always navigating menu options and, you know, doing a lot of other things, it was a bit of a nightmare. The Acuras Excel really turned things around. It's basically a rebranded Onyx Books reader, but Acuras is an awesome company to deal with. And Onyx Books themselves, especially their North American distributor, I believe he's located in the East Coast, never returns emails, doesn't return calls. If you have like an RMA type problem, you're better off just disputing it with your credit card company. We deal with a lot of companies with Good E-Reader, and Onyx Books ranks up to one of the worst, next to Penn Digital, which went bankrupt, next to Augen, went bankrupt, next to Cooler, went bankrupt. So I would say, at least with Onyx's North American distribution, they're fairly woeful, but not as woeful as Pocketbooks, which basically sacked all their executives, scrapped all their stores, shut down their offices, their head distributor quit. So Onyx isn't in as sorry state of affairs as Pocketbook is, but they're fairly close. So the Acuras Excel 9.7 inch e-ink pearl, you're looking at 1280 by 825 for your resolution, which is fairly cool. It only responds to the accompanied stylus, so it is touchscreen, but you can't actually access anything with like your fingers or typing on it. It's like the one drawback. But bar none, this is the best 9.7 inch e-reader we've ever reviewed. 800 megahertz processor, 256 MB of RAM, which is double what the JetBook Color had, as well as 4 gig storage. And of course, you can expand that via the SD card. Really, PDF functionality, if you've ever had a Sony e-reader and you see, okay, you know, reflow options rule, this is actually has about quadruple the amount of PDF augmenting ability than a Sony has. So Acuras Excel, brilliant at PDFs. It's a fairly low price, good resolution, but just hella responsive. It's like more responsive than the Kindle DX. So, and it's supported, so I would recommend to buy it directly from them because they seem like a really awesome company to deal with. When you look at tablets, I'm just going to run them down because we've reviewed the crap out of these in the last few weeks. Amazon Kindle Fire HD 7, Kobo Arc, Nook Tablet is what I recommend if you're looking for tablets that are geared towards e-reading. Obviously, there's a big distinction whether you want a tablet devoted to reading or whether you want a tablet devoted to entertainment. If you want a tablet devoted for entertainment, iPad 3 or 4 is super solid. Google Nexus 7, the upcoming Skytex Imagine 7 tablet is really good. And, you know, there's sky's the limit. I mean, there's so many tablets out there, but, you know, being good e-reader, we're reading centric over here. So we're basically just focused on e-readers and tablets that are more geared towards that than anything else. What I'm going to do, folks, is it's Black Friday and I got to wake up early because I got shopping to do, but we also have reviews of a lot of new products that are going to be that are actually in our labs right now. And I can't wait to get at them. That Kindle Fire HD 8.9. I thought the 7 was really good with the Dolby surround sound, but I'm very interested to see on how the 8.9 stacks up with the iPad 3 and versus the Nook HD Plus. I mean, they all have very similar screens, but since Amazon really did a huge job with audio, I'm wondering how it actually sounds with like the bigger tablet, especially with HDMI 2. I mean, that's something that really none of the other tablet competitors have right now. Nook is putting out accessories for their Nook HD and HD Plus that will allow you to eventually buy docking stations, their pin connection to HDMI connection, but none of that's really out yet, so it's kind of ambiguous. But as it stands right now, I mean, HDMI and Dolby Surround Sound is like a huge winner, plus you could sideload apps. So I'm pretty interested to see how magazines, newspapers, and things like that will look with the better resolution. And I think we are getting the 4G model, so it'll be very interesting to test like benchmarks and things like that. So I'm fairly excited right now. I'm not giddy, but I'm kind of borderline right now. So obviously, folks, I want to know if you bought any e-readers today. Please comment on this video. Let me know what you got. Of course, if you're listening to this on iTunes, SoundCloud, or various other audio services, goodyreader.com/blog, and you could see our radio show on the front page. I'm going to serenade you out with another little ditty today, but my name is Michael, and you're listening to the Good E-Reader radio show.
I ain't fit to be no mother. I ain't fit to be no wife yet. I've been working like a man, y'all. I've been working all my life, yeah. All my life, y'all. All my life, yeah. Ain't no dinner on the table. Ain't no food in the refrigerator. I go to work and I be back later. I go to work, said I be back later. I've been working like a man, y'all. I've been working all my life, yeah. All my life, yeah. All my life, you know.